Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to a program, The Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy Edition. I'm Vic Batista, along with my co-host, Nathan Jones, with Lamb Lion Ministry. We thank you for being part of today's program. As we continue making our way through the book of Isaiah, we find ourselves in Isaiah chapter 36 with a topic titled, The Fear of Man. So stay tuned for this program. And for those of you that follow us on social media, we'd love for you to share this program with your friends and family so they can follow along with us as well. And of course, before we continue, I'm going to ask my co-host, Nathan Jones, if he will open us up with a word of prayer.
We thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us the book of Isaiah to help us understand prophecy, not only just future, but the fact that you fulfilled prophecy in Isaiah's time tells us that you are a God who always, always does what you say you're going to do. Lord, that should encourage us in our salvation, and Lord, a blessing in knowing you for now and throughout eternity, that we can depend on you. Praise you, Lord Jesus, in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Again, you're tuned into A Truth Will Set You Free Bible Prophecy Edition. Big Batista, Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. Again, our topic is that, the fear of man. So we encourage you to stay tuned. And before we continue, I'm going to welcome my co-host of the program, Nathan Jones. Nate, another amazing week.
Another amazing week, brother. I love the fall season, not just because my birthday happens to fall in October, but I just think that the fall is just a warm, cozy season. There's a lot to look forward to at the holidays, and I hope everybody tuned in is also being blessed this fall.
Nate, that is fantastic. Well, a happy early birthday to you. You know, we've been friends for such a long time, and I can't even remember your birthday. Now, that's sad.
It's okay. We're guys. Man, I've had a friend of mine who I've known since a child, and I almost always get his birthday wrong still. No excuse, but it's just what we guys do, right?
Hey, thank you for understanding. I'm sure our listeners who are guys, they're saying,
yeah. Well, that's what our wives are for, to remember birthdays.
That's what they make calendars for. Well, Nate, I agree with you, Nate. I love the season that we're in. I think the weather is nice to get a little break. I know it's been hot in Texas, like it's been in Daytona. And it's just nice to get a little fresh air from time to time.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And that's what sounds like our story in Hezekiah in the book of Isaiah is going to get a little fresh air and a little fear, but a little hope in the Lord, too.
Absolutely. And Nate, of course, before we start, in case someone is new to a program, might you be able to share with them how they can get a hold of the materials and the contents that we're producing?
Absolutely. Matter of fact, I got an email from a podcasting company who was just surprised that you and I have produced 1,100 or so of these podcasts over the last 15 years. And they're like, you know, that is commitment. You don't see podcasts out there that have been going as long as we have or produce on a weekly basis. So again, folks, Vic and I do this as evangelists with Lamb and Lion Ministries because we're passionate about the Lord's soon return. So that's why we produce these podcasts, to help you connect with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and get excited that the fact that he said he's coming back, that he really is coming back. And he's even given us signs that point to the Lord's soon return. And that's what Vic and I teach as well. So check us out on our website, christinprophecy.org. We also have a television program with Tim Moore and myself called Christ in Prophecy on all the major networks and online networks. And you can also check out our Christ in Prophecy radio program. We're on about 850 radio stations around the country. We produce many books. I just came out with a book this summer called The Coming Millennial Kingdom, What Life Will Be Like for Us When Jesus Reigns on Earth. So if you want to know what the next 1,000 years of your life are going to be like, then check out The Coming Millennial Kingdom. And Vic, you have a special book out too. Tell the folks what that book's about.
Yeah, thank you, Nathan. Yes, the book that just was just released this month is Navigating the Revelation Letters, and individuals can find it on Amazon, just looking for Victoriano Batista, also the topic of the book, Navigating the Revelation Letters. And it's basically a simple book that takes you through the letters in the book of Revelation and how they apply to us today. The churches today, many are doing a great job in evangelizing and sharing the gospel, but there's also so many churches that really are in bad shape, and the Holy Spirit speaks to those churches. And the book that I wrote is kind of like seeing how that ties into today's churches. So Nate, it's a great, simple read, and I think people will be encouraged by it. And again, they can find it on Amazon.
Excellent. Yeah. And I just love the fact that from September 11th to October 11th, all the book sales proceeds went to support Charlie Kirk's family. That was very generous of you, Vic, and I'm glad we could all participate in that.
Thank you, Nathan. Yes, and we just want to continue to uphold the gospel and Charlie Kirk's family and just the example that they were. So anyone that buys any of the book up until October 11th, all the 100% of the proceeds, we're going to be donating that to the Charlie Kirk family. So thanks, Nate. Also, Nathan, another event that people can take a hold of, they can grab hold of if they need an evangelist. From time to time, we'll go out and speak at different venues. And you guys have something that's coming up soon, right?
Well, as of this airing, we've had quite a number of different events over the month of October. Of course, we do streaming teachings, sessions where Tim and I, and we also brought Dr. Kurt Jefferson, who's an expert on Israel's wars. And so we enjoyed to do that on September 29th. On October 3rd through 5th, we went to Woodland Hills Baptist Church in Longview, Texas, to speak at a conference there. Tim, October 24th and 26th, will be up in Fort Madison, Iowa, to speak at a prophecy conference there. I'll be in Ida Baptist Church in Sherman, Texas, October 25th through 26th. And then again at Indian Bible Church in Elton, Louisiana, November 2nd through 4th. So if you go to our website at christandprophecy.org, just click events. We post all our events there, and so you can keep track. And if we're in your area, we'd love to have you come out to one of these conferences and say hi to us and say, hey, you listened to this podcast, and it's been a blessing to you. And that would really mean a lot to us.
That is fantastic. So yes, if you're part of this program, we'd love for you to get a hold of all those wonderful resources to help you grow in your relationship with the Lord and in learning Bible prophecy. So Nate, here we find ourselves in Isaiah 36. You and I are super excited because I think we're past half of the way, almost halfway through the book.
Yeah, only 30 chapters after this. But this is exciting because we have read up to this point where God is calling out Israel and Israel's enemies for their sin and rebellion against him. And he's laid out the fact that, hey, if you don't repent, I need you to repent and have that relationship restored, and you'll know blessings. But if you continue to rebel against me, there'll be only curses, mostly from attacks from foreign invaders. So that is set up to the point where now we're in chapters 36 and 37, which will be about an invasion of Judah and Jerusalem, and how the Lord is now going to step in and finally defeat the enemies of Israel. So all that the Lord, the groundwork the Lord has been laying up to this point about his judgments, he's just not talking. He's now going to follow through on. And that's where we're here in Isaiah chapters 36, which you also in 2 Kings chapters 18 through 19 and 2 Chronicles chapter 32, you can read parallel passages to the story.
Nathan, and that's the wonderful thing about the Bible here is that when we read through the Word of God, we see how applicable it is. And today, as we look at chapter 36, we invite you to follow along in your Bibles with us as we continue making our way through the book of Isaiah. Nate, would you be able to take us to ch chapter 36, verses 1 and 6, and I'll do verses 7 through 12 in case someone doesn't have a Bible?
Okay, let's pick up chapter 36, verse 1 in the New King James. Now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, that's 701 BC, that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them. Then the king of Assyria sent the Rabshakeh with a great arm from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. And he stood by the aqueduct from the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field. And Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph, the recorder, came out to him. Then the Rabshakeh said to them, "Say now to Hezekiah, thus says the king of Assyria, what confidence is this in which you trust? I say you speak of having plans and power for war, but they are mere words. Now, in whom do you trust that you rebel against me? Look, you are trusting in the staff of this broken reed Egypt, on which if a man leans, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who trust in him. But if you say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, Is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away and said to Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar?
And verse 8, now therefore I urge you, give a pledge to my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give you 2,000 horses if you're able if you're able on your part to put riders on them. How then will you repel one captain of the least of my master's servants and put your trust in Egypt for chariots and horsemen? Have I now come up with the Lord against this land to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. Then Eliakim, Shebna, and Joah said to the Rabshakeh, please speak to your servants. Please speak to your servants in Aramaic, for we understand it. And do not speak to us in Hebrew in the hearing of the people who are on the wall. But the Rabshakeh said, has my master sent me to your master and you to speak these words and not to the men who sit on the wall who will eat and drink their own waste with you? Whoa, now that is quite a threat.
Yeah, it really reminds me of that scene in Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, where Aragorn
Yes.
takes his forces up to the gates of Mordor, and Sauron sends out his mouthpiece of Sauron, and he's some, weird looking guy. He's got this giant mouth full of teeth that doesn't look like he has any eyes. And he's the spokesman for Sauron, and he mocks Aragorn and his army like they're pathetic and they're not going to be able to take Mordor and all that, and just kind of reverse the armies instead, put the Jewish people, the Israelites, up on their walls. And you've got this representative, he's the Rabshakeh, he's the representative, probably the chief of staff of the armies of Assyria. And he's outside the walls with his army, and he's taunting the Jewish people in Hebrew. It's interesting that he can speak Hebrew, or excuse me, Aramaic, because he wants the people to, sorry, he's speaking in Hebrew, not Aramaic, which was the language of that time period, which it came out of the Persians. And he's giving them shade. He's saying, your God is actually with us. He's coming to kill you and, your army. And so the leaders of Hezekiah's, the officials, he sends the officials out. Hezekiah himself, it looks pretty obvious in the Bible that Hezekiah would tend to be cowardly. So he sends his men out to talk instead. And they're like, hey, don't speak in our language so the people, the guardians on the wall can hear. And the guy's like, yeah, right. I'm going to still keep speaking Hebrew anyway. So the people fear the Assyrians. And brother, you know that the Assyrians were a fearful army, right?
Oh, Nathan, I mean, even when we see the captivities in Daniel, prior to that, these guys, I mean, when they came into town, people will sometimes even commit suicide so that they would not be captured by them because of how brutal they were. They will pluck people's eyes out. They will put hooks through their lips and just drag people as slaves. And yeah, Nathan, they were brutal indeed.
Yeah, the Assyrians were known. They were like the ISIS of their time period. I mean, if ISIS pulls into your town, look out. They're going to rape and slaughter and crucify, and they were terrified. And then they drag you back as slaves to their land. They were humiliated. Matter of fact, if you're all familiar with the story of Jonah, God was going to send him to Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, to call the people to repentance. But Jonah hated the Assyrians so much that he got on a ship and headed the complete opposite direction because he didn't want God's mercy upon these people. So that's what we got here. We've got this great army of Assyria. They're the scourge of the land. They fight like ISIS does today. They're terrifying and horrible. They've already defeated all the land around Jerusalem and taken the towns. And so the people in Jerusalem that are holed up in Jerusalem are feeling that God's abandoned them. And now you've got the leader's assistant, his chief of staff, out there mocking them, saying, hey, your God is actually on our side, and he told us to go defeat you. So you could tell that the Jewish people were at their lowest ever. And brother, that kind of reminded me of back in early late September, early October, during the UN meeting, where almost all the countries but the United States and a few Pacific nations voted to split Israel into a two-state. So they call it solution. It's no solution. And you could hear Netanyahu in his speech. Basically, it was the world against the Jewish people. That's how they're feeling today, They were feeling like that back then, like the whole world is against them. Well, today they're feeling like the whole world, except the United States, is against them. And this is where the Lord wants them to be, so then he can prove himself that they don't need to depend on Egypt. Like Egypt was a nation by the time of Hezekiah, was a fallen nation that had lost all its power. It'd be like us, no offense to you Canadians, going to Canada asking for help. And my Canadian friends say their entire army is two Canucks in a canoe. I mean, that's what Egypt would have provided to Israel. There were no help. And so God wanted the Jewish people to turn to him and him alone as a defender. And folks, we're going to give a little spoiler alert here. God's going to show up in a big way by the end of the story.
Oh, absolutely. And Nathan, and as we mentioned earlier, the parallel story to this is found in 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 19, around those areas. So in case you have a Bible and for homework, you want to read it, since we won't have time here to get into those as well. But it's fascinating. It's a fascinating look at the threat, the fear of man, but it's also a fascinating look at the spiritual warfare behind it, the threat. The Bible says that Satan goes around like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. And we are to trust in the Lord, Nathan. Not on other nations. We find that we're not to trust in our own power, in our own horses or chariots or tanks, but to trust in the Lord. And here is basically something that we can all relate to. We can all find ourselves in major threats, whether it's a fear of our health or something that paralyzes us. But if we put our eyes on the Lord and turn to Him, God always shows us a way out.
He does. He does. And it got to the point where the Jewish people had been just ignoring God for so long. Now we got to remember that only 21 years earlier, the Assyrians wiped out the northern tribes of Israel. They destroyed Samaria. They took all the people hostage. They planted their people in the land, and whatever Jewish people were left, they intermarried with them, and that's where we get the Samaritans. And that's why the Jews during Jesus' time hated the Samaritans, because they saw them as racial traitors, and defiled because they didn't follow the true God or go to the temple to worship. And so that's kind of what here is the representative of the king of Assyria, Sennacherib's aide, is saying here is that, hey, we wiped out all those cities and towns who said that you took God away from them. Now, it clearly shows that the Assyrians didn't understand the fact that God had commanded that worship for him and him alone should be done at the temple. So all these other high places were pagan anyway. And frankly, Hezekiah should have wiped them out ahead of time. It shouldn't have been God sending Assyria to do it. But it showed to the people that gave them this idea that God isn't on their side. And we get that a lot even in our own day, as whereas Christians were like, we're constantly seeing the persecution. Nigeria, man, the amount of people dying at Christians in Nigeria, they call them the Fulani herdsmen, but they're actually Islamic militants. And they're just going from one Christian village to another with machetes, slaughtering them. And we're like, where is God? Why is God allowing Christians to suffer and die? And so, likewise, the Jewish people are saying, hey, where is our God? Where is Yahweh, who's supposed to be defender of us? We're about to get annihilated here. And folks, God will often show up at the very last. He's like an action hero. He, for some reason, likes us to get to our weakest point at calling out to him before he'll show up.
Oh man, Nathan, and that's what builds faith, and that's what shows us. I think everyone who's trusted in the Lord and looks back at their lives, it's always been an up and down, but God always shows up. Someone said God is never late or early, but he's always right on time.
Yes.
And sometimes I just wish he was a little bit earlier in certain situations.
Well, I mean, look at the tribulation time period. If you go into the book of Revelation and read chapters 6 through 19, we realize that the Lord is going to just devastate the earth in 21 judgments, to the point where he says that if he was one day later than his return, there would be no life left on the planet. The earth would be completely obliterated. And so he waits to the very last second to show up. I mean, that blows my mind, but that's just how God works. He wants us, like you said, that expectation of the Lord's return is what builds faith and helps us to become more just dependent on the Lord, to have that better relationship where it's not a casual, you see each other and say a few words each day, but something that's vibrant and active and alive and not codependent, but dependent on God.
Nathan, I think it's true. I think it's just that we constantly have to keep our guards up. And when we get complacent and comfortable, that's when the enemy likes to creep in. But if we're always in the alert and watching, as the Lord said, it helps us to be ready. So when the threat comes, much like we're going to continue reading here in Isaiah, we can be prepared. Nate, would you be able to read for us verses 13 through 17? And I'll pick it up on verses 18 through 21 in case someone doesn't have a Bible.
Oh, yes. Let's see what the Rabshakeh has to say now. Then the Rabshakeh stood, and he called out with a loud voice in Hebrew. He didn't switch to Aramaic, in Hebrew. And he said, "Hear the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you. Nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make peace with me by a present, and come out to me, and every one of you eat from his own vine, and every one of you from his own fig tree, and every one of you drink the waters of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards."
Verse 18, beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Has any one of the gods of the nations delivered its land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? Indeed, have they delivered Samaria from my hand? Who among all gods of these lands have delivered their countries from my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem from my hand? But they held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was, do not answer him. Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household of Shebna the scribe, and Joah the Asaph, the recorder, came to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him the words of Rabshakeh. Oh, Nathan, what a scene that is.
Yeah. So Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, would be the equivalent to the Rabshakeh. He would be the guy who is a secretary of state in the United States. He represents the president. The Rabshakeh represents the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, and Eliakim represents Hezekiah here. And so when they go back, Hezekiah should have been the one out there listening, but again, he sent his officials out to do the talking. And what do they say is that, hey, the Assyrians believe that the Lord God is just another false god. And that's really what shows the Assyrians believed that Yahweh wasn't the one and only God of the universe, but just another local deity that was easy to overthrow because they were fictitious. That'd be like us putting all our trust in Superman and Batman. Well, there's no such thing as Superman and Batman, but if we put our trust in them, they won't come to help us because they don't exist. And that's what the Assyrians thought. And I think this is what the Lord is setting this up for, not just the Israelites, which is very important then for them to learn, but the Assyrians are going to learn that, yes, Yahweh isn't some tribal fictitious God. He is the real one and true God of the universe. And so, brother, this is setting up for a fantastic story. I wish they'd make a movie of this. This is so good.
I know, Nathan, I tell you, and that's why if anyone is tuned into this program, also you don't want to miss the next segment of our program, because like Nathan said, it's just like a movie when you start reading through this, the excitement, but also Nathan, the pump here in the king of Assyria. He's like, ooh, well, look at the other nations. Have God deliver them? No one will be able to. And almost he's like 100% sure that he's going to conquer and that God is not going to do anything about this. So can you imagine when someone comes across that confident, you feel like, man, there's no hope for me. But yet, I love it because it says that they held their peace. They did not answer him a word. It's almost like, hey, let's just wait on this.
Yeah, and it's interesting that this Rabshakeh was a brilliant psychological warfarist. I mean, the fact that he's speaking in Hebrew, so he actually went to the trouble of learning the language, and then so he could then terrify all the soldiers who were on the gates and walls. And when the word got back, as the soldiers shared with the other soldiers, fear would spread throughout Jerusalem. And nothing's worse for an army than fall into fear. I mean, brave soldiers, that are fearless, are almost unstoppable. But if you can make them be terrified, then you've sucked the strength and the will out of them. And that's what the Rabshakeh is doing so masterfully here, to the point that even Hezekiah's leaders, the heads of his household, even one of them is as Joah, the son of Asaph. Well, Asaph was a prophet, a seer. So if anyone should have known better about God, it's Joah. And yet, what do? They come before the king and they do something which they should never do before a king, would be dishonoring, but they show despair by ripping their clothes and saying, basically, we're all doomed. It's kind of like when the Israelites sent the 12 spies into the land of Canaan, and when they came back, 10 of them were like, we're doomed. We can't possibly do anything. And their words spread through the Israelite camp, and everyone was really fearful. Well, you can see that again here, even though it's hundreds of years later, that the Jewish people are terrified of Sennacherib, and they're losing faith that God's going to defend them. They're starting to think, well, maybe he's right. Maybe Jehovah God is just like every other God, and he's going to fall. And it's really sad because they've got hundreds of years of proof that God has been there defending them and protecting them. Just like we today, folks, have hundreds, if not thousands, of years of proof that God always takes care of his children.
Oh, Nathan, and you, I think you hit it right on the nose. There's people right now that are falling for that right now. Satan has been whispering to them certain fears, and that they're doomed, that there's no hope for them, and that whatever mistakes they did cannot be undone. And some people believe that lie so much that oftentimes they even take their lives, and that's how the enemy works. But yet we know that through faith, all things are possible. And maybe that's you. Maybe you're feeling that fear. Maybe you're feeling that or that you've hit this wall and you don't know how to climb over or get out of this hole. Well, there's always hope for you. There's always hope in the Bible. Like Nathan mentioned earlier, sometimes God waits for us at the last minute before he rescues us when we are at our end, so that then we can trust in the Lord. And maybe that's you. Well, we can tell you that there is definitely hope. As you continue to trust in the Lord and put your trust in Him only. So give your situation, your circumstance, whatever that is, to the Lord, that burden, and see what God will do. But it has to start with a relationship with Him and allowing the Holy Spirit to strengthen and help you to be able to do that. And Nate, for that person that maybe is listening right now and they feel a certain fear like that, a certain threat from the enemy, and it's because they don't have a relationship with God. Would you be able to share with them how maybe they can start their journey with the Lord?
Oh, absolutely. Folks, the fact that God the Father sent his only Son to die on the cross in your place, to take the punishment of hell upon himself, shows that he loves you with an undying, unconditional love. He's never going to leave you, and he's never going to forsake you. I mean, the Bible is replete with verses that say, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, for instance, Hebrews 13:5. And so the Lord wants you to know that he is your protector. He loves you. He wants to live with you forever in heaven, where you can dwell and bask in his great glory and enjoy his eternal rewards. But as long as sin separates you from God, then you are still under the death sentence of hell. John 3:36 says that we are still under the wrath of God. But you can remove the wrath of God by accepting Jesus Christ's great sacrifice for you, by proclaiming your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, repenting of your sins, and making him the Lord of your life. If you're ready to accept Jesus' salvation, then pray, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've rebelled against you. Please forgive me. I love you, and I want you to be my Savior and the Lord of my life. And Jesus promises he will forgive your sins, the guilt will be washed away, and you will inherit eternal life with him.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Nate. And maybe you just took that step of faith and trusted in Christ. We would love to hear from you. You can always call us at 305-992-9292. 9537, or you can write to us at webminister@lamblion.com, and we would love to continue to encourage you in this amazing journey. All heaven rejoices with you who have turned your lives to the Lord, and we say hallelujah for that. So Nate, thank you so much for sharing that wonderful opportunity for our listeners. Well, we ran out of time for this segment of our program. We thank you for being part of this program, and also stay tuned to our next upcoming program as we continue in the book of Isaiah. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones saying goodbye. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. Have a wonderful week.